Hey, everybody, and welcome to Priorcaster. I knocked Greg right out because I was too soft earlier. Now I'm too loud. This is Bob, and tonight I have with me... Well, wait, this is Rob, and this is Greg.
Hello.
And it's from the Paunched Stevenson Show.
Yes.
Yeah. How's it going, guys?
Wait, you
were all chatty a minute ago, and now all of a sudden...
We're alive and kicking.
I'm going to ask a question.
Sure.
If it's allowed, right?
No, yeah, you can do whatever you want.
Where are you?
I'm in St. Louis.
Oh,
is that what you mean?
I was going to say Greg and I are in New Jersey, and it's cold here, but it's cold where you are, too. So.
Oh, yeah, it's very cold. It was... When I got up this morning and was outside around 6, it was almost 50, and now it's below 30. So go figure, right? It's terrible.
It's cold.
Well, and of course you've broken my golden rule. Just never tell them where you live.
I could be lying, Greg. I could be lying, so...
It says where we live on our website.
Does it?
Public? Not, yeah, it's public. I mean, not our home addresses, but in New Jersey. Yeah.
But New Jersey's dense enough to where, you know, come on.
Right.
I've been to New Jersey. You can't find anybody there. Come on.
Yeah, that's our whole shtick is we're just two schlubs in New Jersey just right. Blabbing into a mic.
Wow.
So tell my first question out of the gate was, who says Paunched Stevenson? On the intro.
Greg.
Was that me?
Welcome to the Paunch Stevenson
Show. Yeah, I guess it was
Greg, but I slowed it down slightly. Right. Weirder.
So much of our, like, the bumpers and the intros and all that was from, like, the first year.
Mm-hmm.
And which is amazing.
Which year would that be?
Well, 20 years. 20 years.
Wow. 2005. 20 years. Ridiculous. Congratulations.
Well, I don't. What did we win?
Well, a broken microphone stand. Apparently. That's true. That's the prize tonight for the winner.
Yeah. Well, no, it was all the way 20 years ago. So
if you're in St. Louis, I will take you to lunch. There's your prize. Right. But you got to come all the way here to get it. It's like gift cards.
What is a specialty over there? Like, what is St. Louis? Is there a food you're known for over there?
Yeah, so we had it tonight, toasted ravioli.
Okay.
So do you have any idea? Have you ever heard of toasted ravioli?
Well, I guess ravioli. I mean, you can make ravioli if you screw it up and burn it. Toasted.
Well, no, this is like a breaded ravioli that they bake and toast. Mm. And it's crunchy. Yeah, and that's one of the things. And we're one of the what would you call it? Like 4 or 5 centers for barbecue. So there's Kansas City, which is probably the most popular, Texas barbecue, St. Louis barbecue, Memphis barbecue. So yeah, we're in the barbecue belt, as it were, and nice. And thin crust pizza. And that's what I had tonight was toasted ravioli and thin crust pizza.
Sounds good.
If you've ever seen John Hamm on Jimmy Kimmel's show, typically he shows up with an Emo's Pizza, which is a very popular pizza in St. Louis that's thin crust, very thin. So
why is that where that's John probably, Hamm is from though? Yeah. Is that why?
Yeah, he's from St. Louis. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
Yeah. Scott Bakula, John Hamm, who else? I'm trying to think. Red Fox.
Oh,
there you,
go. Oh, there you go. I finally hit somebody you like.
It's a big one.
God.
Yeah, the Red Fox is from here.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of people are from the St. Louis area. So it's, you know, surprisingly, there's a lot of semi-famous people from this area. So, yeah.
Was Harry Truman or was he a Kansas City?
No, he was Independence, so he's Kansas
Independence,
City.
Independence, right.
Yeah, Kansas City. And there's still a presidential library out there. It's pretty nice if you get out that way. Oddly enough, Independence was the second main home for the Mormons.
Right, right. Yeah, well, Joseph Smith was.
Yeah, Joseph Smith.
Went, they ran him out of there, didn't they?
Yeah, Nauvoo, Illinois, which is on the Mississippi River. He went to Independence, got chased out of there, and made it.
And you know why I know that? Because I saw it in somebody's documentary called Religious. Isn't that right?
Oh, yeah.
Nah. Bill Maher.
The worst Bill Maher. I don't know how many people impersonate Bill Maher, but Rob is easily the worst.
That one guy.
You could do it, you know.
There's a guy on YouTube. He's a comedian. He does a perfect Bill Maher.
Oh, Matt Friend. Really? Matt Friend. Yeah, but Matt Friend does like, he's like Rich Little. He does a million impersonations.
Ooh, it's spot on. I'll tell you, it's identical.
It's very good. He's done it to Bill Maher.
Yeah.
And what did Bill Maher say? Oh.
Yeah, you know, he was like,
I'm not impressed.
Well, he had him in his basement. He did the basement podcast. What's that Bill Maher?
He still does that. Bill Maher still does
something.
He had
club.
Woody Allen on not too long ago, which I thought was an interesting.
Yes, he had Woody.
Which Woody. Is a not weird, a fan. Weird thing. Well, there.
Let me ask you, Bob.
Talk about you guys, though.
Yes.
This is what we're supposed to talk about. I know you guys don't like to talk about yourselves, but. So whose idea was it to do Ponch? Well, first of all, who's Ponch Stevenson? Who the hell is that?
Well,
like
that's
your buddy
that is,
or something?
Isn't that
or
the question, isn't it?
Is a dead guy? What is it?
Well, no. We so the backstory.
Time out. Hold on. Before you tell the backstory.
Time out.
We can. There's two answers to this question. One answer is, well, who's Monty Python, right?
Right. Well,
the other answer is like the actual, what Greg was going to explain, the actual backstory. Which
no, but even the actual backstory is still doesn't make sense. That's the beauty of it.
All right. Go ahead.
So Rob and I, we've said this on the show. We grew up more or less together. We've known each other since like the third grade. Which is a very long time ago now. It is almost 40 years.
Oh, my Lord.
So we've known each other for that long. But in high school, and then, you know, all like growing up, we always did like, I used to have this boom box that recorded audio. Not all of them did that, I guess. I don't know. But, and so I would like record like, you know, just goofing around in the boom box.
Yeah.
And, you know, little like pretending to like broadcast baseball games and whatever. Mm-hmm. And as time went on, then I got a Talkboy. Remember the Talkboy Home Alone 2?
Wow. You were a rich kid. Talkboy. Well, come on.
I don't think it was that. But the whole thing with the Talkboy was you would record it in like a slow mode and then or play it back. And it was like high pitched and we'd laugh at that. So we would do like little bits on there, and then eventually we started getting PCs, and like one of our friends had this PC. He had a PC before, like a better PC before us, and then we would record stuff, and he would like do all these kind of a crazy audio mixing and all these crazy sounds, and we would imitate like our teachers and these, you know, crazy people that we grew up with and these nuts who lived in the neighborhoods. And eventually, you know, Rob and I would do these crazy bits. And then, you know, we went to like college and whatever. And it was like a period of time, I don't know, almost a decade. And I don't know why all of a sudden we decided, because we'd talk on the phone a lot for like hours, just goofing off. And then someone were like, maybe we should do something more formal. And our friend, the great Frank Nora from the Overnightscape, he had this podcast. He's like, why don't you guys do a podcast or something? And I didn't know what it was. And we needed a name. And so the backstory finally is that we were in high school. I'm sure you had this too. They used to do the superlatives where you would vote on, you know, like the class clown and the best looking, all this nonsense. And so
I never won any of them, by the way. So,
so, you know, there was stuff like that. And you were supposed to put your real name. They would also do this like dating. Remember they had this date, Rob, this matching service for you're supposed to get like a date from it. This is insane. It's 10-year-olds are doing this. And so, you know, of course, we would never, ever, and, you know, we were always, we'd never adhere to that. So we always had to go the next step.
We never took it. We never took anything seriously, which even the teachers was called. Why don't you ever take, you need to take this seriously. Take something serious. It's like, get out of here.
You know, when
why bother?
They never let us do, like, we, at one point we were, you know, you'd have to do like any kind of creative writing task. We immediately would write the most ridiculous stuff. It was all based on like being fans of Saturday Night Live and the Zucker Brother movies and all this
Lee Herman and
all this crazy stuff that we were always so obsessed with. So we're like, we need a name to put on this. We can't put our own name because we're going to do something ridiculous. And I don't know how the name Paunch Stevenson came up, but we were like, we came up with this name. This was going to be the like anonymous name that we would use for all these stupid things that we did.
I know how. I remember how.
Yes.
So you and I and our other friend were in study hall. And I don't know why, because we would always just talk about the dumbest, like everything we did was dumb. Mm. So including the podcast. So I don't know how we got on the topic. We were talking about old TV shows, and somehow we got on the topic of Chips.
Right.
The old TV show Chips.
That was,
which was the California Highway Patrol.
It was the Punterella guy.
So we're like, wait, what was the character's name? It was like Eric Estrada, right? We remembered that name, Eric Estrada, the actor. Yeah. And we're like, what was his name again? I can't remember. I used to watch this when I was little. What was the guy that... And it was like, the Paunch.
Yeah.
Like, Paunch? What was his name? What kind of name is that? And we're like, what was his last name? We're like, I don't know, Stevenson. That was the name of the main character on Chips? You're like, it was Paunch Stevenson. And for some reason, that just became this running gag.
It was this gag. And then we would leave notes all over the high school that Paunch is coming. Who is Paunch? I don't know why. We just did this.
Yeah, Paunch was here.
Yeah, you just did this like some kids did graffiti. We did this stupid crap.
Yeah, we were bored.
Anyway, so that was the name. That was the that was the first name that we thought of. Like, this should be the name. And then we went forward with that. And I don't know. And then we made this show that was like half pop culture, half, and we would do for a long time, it was like a variety show. We did these horrible, horrible skits and songs and
Cowboy Kruger.
Oh, well, that was Cowboy Kruger is 40 years old now, 35 years old, I think.
So, Bob, we could have named the show, the Greg and Rob show, Rob and Greg show, two guys from New Jersey. Like, there's any number of names we could have come up with, but because back then at that time, the handful of podcasts that were popular back then, it was like the Overnight Scape, the Dawn and Drew show, and
Snacker Girl
Tech.
There were a few, This Week in Tech and stuff. So for some reason, we just went the more surreal, like absurd route with the Paunch Stevenson show. Plus that domain name, like we knew we would get nobody's going to have paunchstevenson.com. So,
no one's offered you $1 million and you haven't sold out.
That's right. $1 million is all we wanted. Damn it.
The thing is, this shows you our lack of thought process or lack of like grifting ability or whatever. But it's not like if we had named it something like the Pop Culture Variety Podcast or Pop Culture or like something more descriptive of what the show actually was, maybe we would have attracted more listeners or more notoriety.
We didn't want that. That was the whole thing. We didn't want the notoriety.
Right. So the Cornish Stevens show, people are like, what even is that? Like, it doesn't, it tells you nothing about the show. So exactly. We just languished in obscurity.
It sounds like one of the failed McLean Stevenson things from way back when, from after MASH and so forth.
All right.
Arthur Stevenson.
May have had Parker Stevenson on the brain at that time.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Because I was a big Stroker Ace fan. Because I loved all the Burt Reynolds movies. So I probably was thinking, like, he's thinking Poncherello. I'm thinking Parker Stevenson, and we Frank just put Poncherello, the two together. Yeah. I don't know.
I guess you guys have always had this kind of pop culture bent to your personalities.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And well, so what's the attraction for all that? What makes you always want to talk about those things? You have any, have you ever thought about it, reflected on this and say, why in the hell do we talk about this?
Yes.
Well, that's death. You guys always do the death watch.
I'd like to hear this.
A celebrity death. I don't have a definitive answer. It's just a fascination. Like growing up, I was so and Greg too. Like I don't want to put words in Greg's mouth, but I was very fascinated with like put yourself in the shoes of like a 2-3 year old boy, 4 or 5, even like 7 year old boy. That this little person seeing all of this over the top zany stuff on TV, like WWF wrestling, Pee Wee Herman, transforming robots that combine and they're lions and they turn into some gigantic robot that flies through the universe. It's like just all this amazing, extreme, over the top stuff. And it was just this fascination. This lifelong fascination, plus combined with comedy and the fascination with how they write these, like everything from Three Stooges to Abbott and Costello to contemporary stuff, like the comedian, like I love stand-up comedy in the 1980s and 90s. I couldn't get enough of, like, Richard Lewis and Mark Maron, like any stand-up comedy. It was just like, how do they come up with these bits and the timing? And it's so clever. Right. And I don't know. It's just been a fascination.
Well,
so have you guys done stand up yourselves?
Oh,
no?
God.
No.
Well, no. It sounds like you should, actually, from that statement.
I don't know about that.
Have you, Bob?
No, okay. I have not either. I'm not
The funny part is, we went to high school. We went to high school with a guy, our friend Jonald, who is a big improv guy and has worked with Second City for years and years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I don't think we'd be any good at it.
Well, but you're doing it. You've been doing it for 20 years.
Well, I mean, the other thing is, here's the other thing I would say in terms of influences. As I was getting older, I think Rob, much more than me, Rob was more of a Howard Stern listener than I was. Never really big on Stern. But then Opie and Anthony was the big show for me when I was like in college in this area. And so a lot of what I did early, especially for a while on this show, was kind of based on what they used to do, just not as raunchy.
Right.
But
yeah.
But the other thing is, it's for us, it's not just like pop. Well, here's the thing. When you say pop culture, there's two pieces to that. There's the wider pop culture that everybody kind of knows about. You know, when you talk about, you know, we talked about Nintendo games or Transformers or
movies,
Paul McCartney or whatever we're talking about, movies, whatever, then that's like the wider pop culture. But then there's also like the local pop culture, if you will. And that was a big part of our show because that's what we used to joke about all the time was these ridiculous things that used to happen in our town growing up and in our neighborhood that we just couldn't like reconcile. That's why when like, especially early on when they, Bob, did you watch the Goldbergs at all? That ABC show?
I did. Yeah. Yeah. But I didn't watch the whole run, but I know it just early, got early it, part got of it. Yeah.
Jumped the shark, but
it ran its course, right. You know, but it was good.
Yes, but like early on, a lot of what the creator, Adam F. Goldberg, did on that show was he focused on a lot of that the 1980s like pop culture, but it wasn't like a lot of it was like the stupid kid would be, I'm a big Back to the Future fan, I love you know, I love Madonna, stuff like that. But it was also like all the little things that you would only remember if you grew up then, like the toys that you had, and just stupid stuff like
School experiences and
whatever, like you know,
home stuff.
Had, you know, back in, when you were younger, you drove in a car and have a seatbelt. I mean, it was common.
That's right. they didn't enforce like it until you were already growing up. So.
Yeah. So like just whatever, like just things like that. And then so we would bring in the local flavor, and we felt like if anybody's going to listen to this stupid show, they can hear people talk about pop culture, you know, all day long. But from our perspective, if we brought the local stuff from our experiences and talked about those, because we found them hilarious, because so many of them were just over the top and ridiculous, like that would be the basis. And then we would also talk, like if we talked about, you know, I hate to bring it up, but if we talked about the great Ted Danson, we made fun of his, you know, we made fun of the blackface thing, which happened in the 90s. But we made fun of that, you know, or Rob constantly imitating Stan Lee to the point.
It's me, Web Schlinger. So the thing is, the fascination with pop culture, but even at that young age growing up, like I was so huge into the Transformers cartoon, and I couldn't just enjoy it like a regular person. The way my mind works, part of the enjoyment for me was like, wow, how did they figure out how to make the drawings transfer? Like I just have that technical behind the scenes mind. Like I want to figure out how everything works, how everything is made. So when we grew up and now we're talking about pop culture and stuff, it wasn't just like, oh, yeah, I liked that movie. It was like, oh, and I saw this article that explained how, like, behind the scenes, this is how they would write this episode, or this is how they would produce it. Or like the stuff with celebrities, it's like, oh, yeah, it's not just like, oh, Jaleel White acted in Family Matters. It's like, oh, did you know that there was this, like, he started out, it was only supposed to be one episode, but then the reception was so strong that they kept him on, and then he became it's like all like the craft of it.
And that's so and for a while what we would do is we would go, I mean, the, you know, what was on the internet, not much, but we would go on there and we would use, like, there would be like these feeds very early on, like even before like BuzzFeed, I think it was like AOL had something.
The World Entertainment News Network.
It would have like stupid celebrity news, and we would like, or just, you know, like National Enquirer style things, and we would talk about that, and then talk about our own experiences and things like that. And then that was the crux of the show. And you know, and then we do like the imitations and things like that. And like I said, then it became like, you know, we would do, it was like a, well, it was like a bad variety show also, because
but,
that was,
but it wasn't just to add to what we're saying. It wasn't just this fascination with like Christian Slater or Dr. Phil or whatever. It was like, all right, these people, even though we like some of them, like, this is silly. Why are people worshiping these people? This is absurd, right? They're stupid. They're doing stupid things out in the world. Or this show was awful. This movie was horrendous.
Yeah.
Like, let's keep it real here. Like, just because you're an actor doesn't mean you're some, like, faultless god who we all have to worship. And, like, we would rag on the bad movie. Like, we would just bring it back down to earth. These are just people. They're regular people who happen to memorize a script and get in front of a camera.
But we were also, like, Rob and I, especially, for most of our childhood, and then as we got older, and our friends would get annoyed with us about this, but we would always be like, hey, you remember that time that this happened? And then we would laugh about it, and they'd look at us like, what's wrong with you idiots? Like, they didn't think it was reminiscing. Huh? Yeah, exactly.
It was reminiscing.
I know, but it was very a funny things. But it wasn't just like things that happened. It was also toys and TV shows and movies and just things. And so, and then we became like, you know, we were like collectors also. You know, we collected video games, or we collected, you know, toys or whatever we were doing. And so, and we're kind of nerds. And so with, you know, all of this, we would have this fixation on these things, and that we would remember and be able to describe. And for a lot of people just throw away. You know, when you ask someone on the street, like, hey, somebody's like 40 something years old, and you say, hey, did you collect baseball cards? Yeah, I had some. Can you remember what they look like or anything? Yeah. Like, they literally don't remember. And it's different for every person, but like sometimes, you know, it didn't mean as much to them. For us, I don't know why, but we were like everything that we had and everything that we watched and everything we did, we were obsessed with it. And like these,
they got hyper fixated.
Yeah, like all the intricacies of it. And so I don't know. So then we just remembered all this stuff. And then as we started doing the show, like our, you know, because it's two different people, obviously, and we have different memories. And Rob will remember things that happen that I'm like, I'm listening to him, and I lived in this whatever story he's telling. I was in it, but I just don't remember it, and vice versa. And of course, Rob never told anything, you know, about 40% accurate. So I would be listening like, what?
So you've got this kind of obviously have a shared history, right? So you're friends, you're doing this, and then this thing comes along, and stupid Frank Norris says, why don't you do this? And then you listen to him for some reason. I'm just joking about Frank, but anyway. But I mean, why keep it going? I mean, I know that you haven't been as regular as you were earlier on, but you still are doing, right? So you're still recording things. Mm-hmm. What is there a fascination with recording? Is it just because, well, we just did it? It's just what we've done.
I'm going to answer this. Like we said earlier with the TV show, The Goldbergs. We loved The Goldbergs. The Goldbergs was great, but after so many seasons, it ran its course, right? Yeah. Everything runs its course. So,
run out of ideas.
The podcast, it was like, I loved doing the podcast. We did it for so many years. I loved it. It was great. It was funny. We had a great time. We went to different places throughout New Jersey, conventions and video game stores and restaurants, like just everything. It was great. But after so many years, I mean, first of all, life moves on and I got married and a family and et cetera, et cetera. So time became more limited. Plus the fact that it's like, I just felt like I ran out of material. Like I wasn't watching as many movies. I wasn't watching as many TV shows. I wasn't keeping, like, I just didn't have the time to keep up. I know this is like the whole James Rolfe AVGN meme online where they're like, oh, he doesn't have time. He has a family now. He doesn't have time. But it's true. Like time became very limited. I wasn't keeping up with, like, Greg and I, we used to go to the whatever movie came out, you know, we'd go to all the movies or watch the TV shows and comment on them and stuff. It just, time became very limited. I wasn't keeping up, and I was just rehashing the same dumb, hacky material like the first 100 times of Stan Lee or Dr. Phil or Lee Anderson, whatever. It's funny. The 300th time, it's like, man, I got to get new material. But I don't have any new material because
I think it's still fun. I love the Stan Lee. I don't. My impersonation of Stan Lee is your impersonation.
Right.
It's my version of your impersonation.
Exactly. That's awesome. But the other thing too is like this, I feel like this happens to a lot of even like famous comedians and famous entertainers and stuff, is like there's a time period where I absorbed all this stuff. It resonated with me. It spoke to me, or whatever, like Dr. Phil, like just all this dumb stuff, right? It was during a time period, and then time moves on. He falls right out of favor, like someone new. Like there's so many new movies. There's so many new actors. There's so many new. There's talk show hosts. There's people in pop culture who I have literally no idea who they are because it passed me by. Mm-hmm. It's like like Dana Carvey, all these impressions, or Rich Little, like you said earlier, like at some point you just can't keep up anymore. And the pop culture passes you by and you're not relevant. Like I wasn't being relevant anymore. And therefore the show wasn't making the show relevant anymore.
Well, but you could easily say that today, now in the environment that we're in, you're never irrelevant because everything has a niche. And so just because you don't know Matt Rife.
Is that how you, I don't even know how you say his name. I know the name.
Who is Matt Rife? I have no idea who that is.
He's a comedian.
Okay.
And just because you don't follow him doesn't mean that you're not irrelevant if you talk about Rich Little or you know, somebody else.
Oh, wait, that's the Bill Maher guy, I remember.
No, that's right? Matt Friend.
No, that's Matt Rife is kind of a super popular comic right now. I have no idea what his bits are, but I know he's popular. That's all I know.
Well, he has a big female following. That's kind of
the
thing.
He's the new
Sam Kinison? No.
Dane Cook.
That's what I was gonna say. He's the new Dane Cook because Dane Cook was essentially a good looking comedian, and so everybody kind of poo-pooed him, but he made a lot of money and now he's out of the scene.
What my joke would be on our show would have been like, why can't comedians all look like, you know, David Brenner? Because they were funny. These guys were so damn ugly. They had no choice but to be funny.
Yeah, well, Larry David or
Louis Anderson.
Sam Kinison. Yeah, Louis Anderson. Now, perfect example, right? If we were still regularly, like if this were an episode of the Pawn Stevenson show, and Greg is using David Brenner as his reference. Who's going to know that?
It's
45 years ago.
Some people will still because podcasting has become the niche. It's all niche. So you have the David Brenner niche.
Right. Well, you know what happened was so we started doing it less and less and then very, very infrequently. And then the pandemic hit and it was like.
That's when everybody started doing it.
I don't remember if Rob was employed. I wasn't. And so we had literally nothing to do. We were stuck in the house.
There was time.
And Rob was like, hey, why don't we do some episodes? So we did it. You know, we did it for like a year or something. You know, not
Excelsior.
All the time.
But
yeah. Here and there.
Web slinging.
God. You know, we did it somewhat irregularly. And then again, you know, kind of irregularly. We actually just did a 20th anniversary show.
I listened.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
In the car. Yeah.
I don't know what the deal is with the stupid RSS feed with Apple, but I can't get it to update. So you just have to go on the website and
Facebook. Really? Because I pulled it right down. So
it doesn't work on my stupid phone.
I probably pulled it down off of OvernightScape, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Frank has always been good about reposting our stuff, even though we do like one episode a year, and somehow he still gets to it.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Frank, because he's the common denominator between us knowing each other pretty much.
Can I say one thing, Bob, real quick?
Oh, sure, go ahead.
The other thing, too, before we talk about Frank, the other thing is... we followed it again. This speaks to our mind for like tapping into things or like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like not
grip, zeitgeist.
To capitalize, right. This speaks to our ability to capitalize on things. Just like the name, the Pawn Stevenson show, what the heck is it? Who knows? We didn't capitalize on pop culture. The other thing is we followed in Frank's footsteps. Mm-hmm. And we did, it's a podcast. It's audio. We're doing this audio show.
Right.
And then a few years, as the years went on, YouTube became a thing. And then and now video is popping up more and more. Now everybody does video, and we're, and we just, again, that's, it passed us by. We just never, we never helped on the video. Like if we had really, I mean, if we didn't have full-time careers and other things, like if this was our main focus and we had taken it very, very seriously, we would have tapped into the video thing. We would have done like, but it just wasn't our main focus. It was a hobby. It was like a fun, it was like, hey, we hang out, we do these AOL chats every night and just tell these silly stories. Yeah. Let's record it. And it's fun for us. And if someone else listening has fun too, then great. Like it was never this, I don't know,
a
like
business.
The podcast. Yeah, it wasn't a business. Nah. And on YouTube now, all these quote podcasts, these shows, it's like it's so slick and professional, and they like sponsors and all this. And it's like, it was just never.
But even those, except for like the really political ones, even those burn out. They all burn out.
Yeah, it was never our goal. It was just
you just run out of shtick and you don't feel like doing it anymore or whatever. But that was the other thing, was we, all of these in jokes that we used to repeat for years and years and years, like a lot of, like the celebrities, a lot of them croaked. So it was like, are we still going to be imitating these people? They're dead, you know? And then like, I had this long running joke of me with Eliza Dushku and getting to meet her and all. Mm-hmm. And then I went like, you know, I went on the Africa trip with her and had her, like I had an old episode with her. So that went out, you know, that's accomplished. So we don't do that anymore.
Which that blew my mind. I actually listened to all that whenever that happened. I was like, really? This is like, you can do this? Yeah. That's what I was thinking. This could happen?
Apparently, I mean, I did it. So,
Well, I assumed it was real. I, you know, but.
And then we did another, we did the Digital Press video game podcast for a while.
Yeah.
And then that went away, basically. And, you know, so it's like, I don't know what else if we're up to me, I'd do it more often. Like Rob and I always text each other all these, like, we still text each other like these ridiculous things that we see, you know, hey, look at this web, you know, look at this web page, or look at this stupid video, or
like this whatever. Article or this celebrity, this movie's George Lucas is working on an Indiana Jones 7 or like what I'm making that up, but you know what, like we are constantly in touch. Like it wasn't any, there was no rift, there was no drama, there was no tension, there was no falling out or anything. It was just...
Oh, like, I was hoping to get the scoop.
It just ran its course. But anyway, I derailed the Frank topic.
No, it's okay.
But we also... No, but I mean, we also met like... I mean, how many listeners did we have? Including Bob now. We met everybody.
I think our peak we had like 40. It was the which I'm not. I mean, we laugh about it. It's funny. It's like, wow, 40 whole entire listeners. But
the crazy on thing hand, is 40 in a week right now puts you in the top 50%.
What?
Wow.
Yes. That's the lie of podcasting. Is literally you don't need that much to be in the upper tier.
Oh, maybe. Well, then we have to come back.
we'll come back. I you know, we laugh, and on one hand it's like, it's really awesome that we had like people actually listened and wrote to us and commented on the website and like followed us, stuff like that. That's so cool. But it was never like I said, we never capitalized on it, that it was like we have 200,000 listeners and sponsors. It was never, it was just a hobby. So hey, we laugh at 40 listeners, but there is a part of me that thinks that's really, really
cool. It was like pirate radio, and we kind of wanted to stay that way. And in fact, you know, mentioning Frank Nora, there was a time, this is years ago, and he was trying to set up some kind of a podcasting network. And because
he ultimately did
he?
The Overnight Skate Underground.
Right. But he was like he used to go to these podcast meetups and all this in the city. And I think Rob maybe went to a couple. There was no shot I was going to that. And, you know, he wanted to do
it
this.
It was
like
a complete waste of time.
Frank wanted to make this like network. And we were like, well, this would be good. Like, you know, but immediately I was thinking we could do this with multiple podcasts as if it were like an internet. I don't think Sirius was around then or XM. I think this was even before then, or maybe they were kind of around. But I was like, we could do this as some kind of a stream, you know, like a here's the streaming channel. It's always streaming. You know, Paunch Stevenson at 7 o'clock, Overnight Scape at 9 through, you know, 1 in the morning because this show was very long, et cetera, et cetera.
That's like, right. Frank got the overnights because he went on and on.
Right. Hours, so, and he had a long, then Frank had a long form podcast, didn't he, for a while that I couldn't get into. That's too long.
Yeah.
But that's what we were thinking, like, let's do that. This makes a lot of sense rather than everyone have their own website and blah, 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 let's put it all together. Mm-hmm. And I think Frank was receptive, but like whoever else he was dealing with wanted nothing to do with that.
Right.
And I was
that's
like,
always the way it goes.
this is the gold.
Yeah.
And it never happened. But I haven't talked to Frank in a while. Rob, you?
A few times a year. Yeah, we'll see each other.
Well, you guys did a show together like within the last year.
Is it more than
a year since that happened? He was at somebody's house, and
it was Rob's backyard, I think. But
300.
Yeah, I thought it was. Maybe it's been 2 years, but it's not been. No, it's 2 years.
I think it's been
really.
A while. Yeah,
oh, like okay. 4 years ago.
Wow, in my mind, it was just the other day.
I know, you know what it was? I think it was maybe like a 2021 deal because it was like the pandemic had kind of ended, but not entirely. So the only thing anyone would do would be outside. So we were sitting in the yard. I think that was probably the reason that we did it that way.
So were you, Greg, were you in the band with Frank as well or just Rob? Well, Frank wasn't in the band. Frank,
I was gonna say
around the band.
Yeah,
he was not playing
totally
an instrument
separate.
Or anything, but he was ancillary. I don't know what you'd call it to the band.
He refers to it as a non-performing member of the band. So creative input, lyrics, etc.
Is that where you guys both met him? Is via that, or was there something else?
That's how I met Frank was
right. Well, his sister
meeting Carrie.
Now it's turned into Dateline. And when did you meet Frank?
It was, it's 2000 with the band. And then because Frank had started doing his podcast, or I forget what he called it, just an internet radio show. Before the word podcast was even invented.
Right. I thought Frank was actually on the radio with that other guy. What was that show called?
Briefly.
He did that for
WFMU. And then they
came
back together, and they was like the other guy. I've met the other guy. He was very rambunctious.
Mike.
Oh, he was in college radio with Mike. Yeah. Mad
yes.
Mike.
So I met. Okay. So for anyone, whoever's listening to this, right? This was literally before the iPod was invented.
Right.
There was no podcasting. There was no iPod.
No.
I met Frank. It was 2000. He was doing it was called an internet radio show. There were a few people doing internet radio shows. That's what it was called back then. And so he and I became close, and because he's a nerdy guy interested in fascinating things. I'm a nerdy guy interested in fascinating things. So we clicked. And then Greg's a nerdy guy interested in fascinating things, and he had this. Frank had the internet radio show where it's just him talking about fascinating nerdy things and silly things. And you're like, wait, we talk about silly things. And he's talking about we can do it. And so that's why over the years, it's like, you know, Frank had us on his, on the Overnight Scape, like doing a popcorn review.
We went to his apartment and I said like two words, which is
we
hilarious.
Said nothing. It was horrible. It was, because we didn't understand at the time. Like we were trying to be like real respectful and like, oh yes, it tastes very good. Yes. Okay.
Yes.
We didn't understand. Like we didn't have the Paunch persona. Like we didn't understand. You have to turn it on. Like, I'm not saying we're being phony or we're being
we've taken over this show. I'm sorry, Bob. We've taken this over.
No, the show's right about now. You. So this is what the
but that
is.
Was, Well, no, the thing was, like, Frank, his show, it wasn't the Overnightscape. It was something else he was
Obliviana.
Doing.
Bluffcosm, or one of those
Bluffcosm,
things.
Yeah, yeah, Bluffcosm,
yeah. Bluffcosm, that's
Bluffcosm was another one, yeah.
But it, yeah. It was much more, like, regimented. Like, Frank would, he was like, oh, we'll do this, and then we transition to that, and we do this, and mm-hmm. I think, oh,
like
well,
this segment, is... and then this, and then we have 4 minutes on this segment.
Yeah, I'm like,
then...
well, this is all, oh, this is very, this is a very formulation.
It's official.
I'm yeah. sitting there like, I don't know if I should just interject on here and then stomp on what he's trying to do. So
yeah, so we, through doing the Pawn Stevenson show, we just naturally came, you know, we formed these on-air persona. Again, not a phony, fake personas. Uh-huh. Like, hey, it's me, the wacky zoo Z. Morning Zoo guy or whatever. It's not like that.
Scott and God is a very very local reference.
It's just you have to turn it on to, like, I can't just sit here and talk like, so Reginald Vell Johnson was, he's going to be at this convention. Like, you gotta turn it on a little bit and be entertaining, right. And cut through, right. and exactly. You have to entertain people. Yeah. So there's so back, Greg, if anyone listens to that old Overnightscape episode, we didn't.
Oh, it's terrible.
Turn it on yet? Yeah, we didn't know. We just
terrible. And you know, the funny part was, we did we uploaded it years and years ago. We called it Episode Zero, mm-hmm. and it was before we started doing the show. And we were in my car, and we drove down the shore. The high school friend of, well, we grew up with him too, this friend of ours, and he was the one that I mentioned. That we were in high school, he had a PC, and we made all these goofy, you know, these goofy recordings on there that we would then leave on our friends' answering machines and the teachers' answering machines. We were insane.
Oh, great.
And so we had him in the car, and, you know, he was a pretty funny guy, and we're expecting him to be like, you know, like the goofball and all this. And he was totally silent and said nothing. And so it was kind of the same thing. And we're just looking, but Rob and I are looking like, we can't use this. This is terrible.
The whole thing was terrible. It was a practice run. It was a practice episode. Right.
Yeah, it's a practice show. That's fine.
And by the way, and that was even before, you know how I said earlier, like before the iPod was even invented and the word podcasting. So this was earlier in 2005. So it was like before. Like
Zoom or something.
Yeah, it was before the pocket, like, digital recorders were invented. I'm like, I'm not going to carry a tape recorder around and digitize. It was like, so I had a laptop on my lap with a microphone, and we're in the car, like the car noise. And it was like,
right.
It was
just, oh, yeah, the car noise.
It was a learning experience. That's why it was a trial run.
I had a secret. Anybody wants to know a secret? I had a Pontiac Grand Prix. I was very fond of that car.
Yeah.
And it had a V6 and a Pontiac exhaust, which is kind of throaty, and the thing was loud. it was a lot of road noise on it too.
You couldn't understand anything. But we learned the lesson.
And my first recordings were always sounded horrible because we couldn't figure out the technology and how to do it. And it would be like me, like now, what are we using here? What is this called? StreamYard.
Yeah.
Right. So like this, nothing like this existed.
No, nothing existed.
This is pre-Skype, pre-Google chat for a while.
This was like the Flintstones.
We used to use AOL Instant Messenger chat, voice chat to hear each other.
Wow.
And then we figured it out. Like, what we have to do is record each other separately. Yeah. And then we'd have to splice it together, which for a while was Rob's job. And then he got to, well, we said this was for like years. Rob, yeah. I would ask Rob, because he's like, oh, I can't do this every week. This is taking too long. I said, well, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, it's taking me like 5 hours to edit a half hour show. I said, what? What are you doing? And he's like, well, I have to get it exactly the same time, 24 minutes. I said, stop. Well,
so I would stop. I would go back through, like, we would record for like an hour.
Ugh.
And like wasting time, like drift off into nonsense or whatever. So I would cut it down to a tight 24 minutes.
Yeah.
And then I would go back and like, I said there. All right, let me take out the let me move the audio, shift it over 4/10 of a second. Oh no, Greg, wait, he dropped out a little bit there. Let me boost that up. I would go into like the milliseconds. Oh,
yeah.
It was stupid. It was overkill. And it was like, who's listening? Good. Nobody.
Well,
they sounded good, but it was like it was just unsustainable.
But even like friends of mine who do podcasts now of various forms, like they'll use like an app like this or something else. And so everything that's done, even if it's not a video podcast, goes into the app and gets recorded. Right. Which is what we wanted 15 years ago, but no one was able to create this technology. It's not that hard. And
but the thing is, so when we first started, I was racking my brain trying to, I'm like, okay, I have my computer. I'm recording my voice into the computer. I hear Greg coming out of the computer through the voice chat, whatever app we're using at that time. I'm going into the Windows mixer. I'm using my output. I'm trying every possible combination of things to record my voice and record the voice of Greg that I'm hearing at the same time. And it just could not do it. There was no combination of cables, of mixer set, of nothing. There was no way. And I'm like, well, what if I attach a second computer to the? And I'm like, it didn't work. I'm like, how did we? I give up. I'm like recording him. I'm like holding the headphone up to the micro. I'm like, no, that's terrible.
Well, even when, you know, even when we used to play clips of things, it was basically click play. Yank your headphones out of the speaker and put the microphone at the speaker, and then that was how we recorded a clip.
Oh, really? That's high tech.
Well, yeah, because sometimes we would splice the clip back in in doing that, but a lot of times we just left it.
why not? After all these years and all of this pain, what would you say? What's the takeaway? What did you say? Okay. You know, it's all been a waste of time. Has it been? What are we doing with our lives? Or is there something? Is there a golden moment out of all this that you're like, you know, it's all worth it because you know I saved one life or something like that.
Here's what I would say. Earlier this year, Rob was like, "I'm going to take the website down. Nobody's going to go on there," and I said, "No." You can't. I said it's a snapshot. I don't know if anybody looks at it, but it's a snapshot into like history. Because if you look, no. If you ahead. Other than like the Internet Archive, the internet is disappearing, and it's disappearing to the point where because like social media apps. They don't retain anything anymore. I mean, I don't blame them because it's just too much. So like you can't find old pictures or posts or anything like that anymore. They just purge it.
And even Google's a few years ago got rid of the cache.
Yeah, Google. I mean, if you search something on Google, you're lucky if you get 3 pages. Right. You know, they don't index things anymore. It's like very difficult to find anything. And so it's funny, like when I go through the other day, I was going through like our pages of episodes and looking at all these websites that no longer exist, all of which were insane websites and some of which we actually talked to the people and they were insane, totally insane. But that was the best part of it was like talking to these maniacs who, you know, on the internet. And then talking to like we got to talk to some celebrities here and there. I mean, it's just like a smorgasbord. And then we talked to like our crazy listeners, you know, Esteban and the Spaceman David and some other people. And then we have our friends on and we talk about, you know, different things and whatever. And so that was like, to me, the takeaway as I'm rambling was that, you know, because once you get to a certain age, right? As adults, once you get like past college, it's kind of even if you have like a family and all, like, you know, that becomes your focus and you live through their childhood and things like that. But for ourselves, you know, every year is basically not the same, but like they don't really, you know, it's like it just meshes together. You know, there's no more milestones like there when you were a kid. You know, the difference between like fifth grade and sixth grade, or, you know, seventh grade, those are like huge differences in your life. And you could milestone all of those. And so for me at least, the show became that. Right. So, you know, if I want to go back and like listen to us goofing on whatever, and there's plenty of them that I still laugh at. There's plenty of them that I cringe. But, you know, it was like,
that was the time.
There have been times where Greg and I recently, this was, you know, years after the fact of like something we talked about 17 years ago or something. Right. And then more recently, like, yeah, when was it? When did we go to that place? When did we meet that person? Well, we have an archive of all this stuff. Let's look in the website and see. Oh, that was June 2008, or, you know, it's like, mm-hmm. So it's an interesting, the only reason I thought about canceling the website was because it wasn't like I woke up one day and like, I'm going to remove this. No, it was like with all of the subscriptions people have, you know, in these days, this is what life has become. These tech bros, this is the life that tech billionaires have foisted on us, is just nonstop subscriptions. Mm-hmm. So it's like doing an audit of all these subscriptions that have like crept up in our lives. And it's like, oh, I got an email saying that the website is up for renewal. Should I just let it lapse? Or like, do I pay? Like, do I keep it? And Greg's like, no, you have to pay and renew it and keep it live. And
I'm going to put it in my will, in fact.
But I know.
The Paul Stevenson show will outlive. Now, eventually it won't work anymore, because I think HTML or WordPress won't even load on anything anymore. Yeah. And then I guess it'll be dead. But
Bob, something that.
No, they can take pictures of each page still.
The way, yeah, screenshot. The way that my mind has always worked, one of the ways that my mind has always worked, even when I was little, is this. Okay, tell me if this sounds stupid. When I was little, and I would really get into something, like, again, He-Man and the Masters of the Universe cartoon and toys, or the Transformers, the cartoon. I loved all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, I come home from school, I watch the Transformers. It's like, that's just part of life, right? Mm-hmm. And then there comes a day, a year later, 2 years later, 3 years later, it's like you come home from school. Where's Transformers? Mm-hmm. Where, like, I didn't understand things can go away, or things do go away after, you know, a couple seasons. It's like, well, it ran its course, it fell out of favor. Now we're on to the next card, you know, the Snorks or whatever. And I'm like, no, hold on. Wait. So you're telling me this thing that I loved so much and looked forward to every day and assumed would just be there every day for the rest of my life, I never get to see it ever again. Like, that's it. It's gone now. Like, what? Mm-hmm. So I've always had this like archivist mind, because being traumatized growing up of things just going away, like, and you didn't get notice, you didn't get advanced. Like,
you don't get a say.
Yeah, you don't get a say, and it's not right. Like, hey, just letting you know.
And now you can do a rewatch, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it wasn't like, okay, hey, children, we're letting you know that 2 months from now this is going to go off the air, so watch it now and like mentally prepare. No, it would just, you would wake up one day and it would just not be on TV anymore. Or you would go to the store one day and like Atari 2600. We grew up with Atari 2600. Mm-hmm. I loved it. And then you go to the store one day and it's like, where's the 2600 games? Oh, well, we're onto Nintendo now, or Sega. It's like, well, but now it's like, I can never play new Atari. Like, things would just go away permanently. It wasn't like how it is now, where YouTube and people uploading everything, and DVD. Like, this was pre-DVD, pre-digital, pre-everything. It was like something would go away and it was permanently gone.
Right.
once it was off the store shelves, once it was off the airwaves.
Right. Which is what I'm saying. It's now it's happening. Like, it's happening again with the internet. The internet is being erased.
Right. So that's why it was like, all right, fine. I'll renew. I'll keep. You're right. I'll keep it on. But that's something that I struggle with.
I won't eat this week. I'll pay for the website to be up for another year.
Even this far into adulthood, I still battle with this like archivist I call it the collector.
The digital hoarder.
Yeah. Collector. I'm like, oh, I have to save these boxes. I have to sit. And it's like, just throw it away. Stop it. It.
You if may need
wanna,
them.
If I want to watch it, I'll go on YouTube. If I want to,
right,
or if it's not on YouTube anymore, I'll go on eBay and I'll buy the. It's like I don't have to save everything anymore, and like I have to remind myself and force myself to throw things away. And I've gotten better. I've gotten better with it. Not like being that.
I haven't. I still have a lot of crap, piles and piles of it.
So what's next for Ponch Stevens, the Ponch Stevenson show? What's next? Just going to keep doing shows randomly whenever, like Christmas special?
Whatever he says is news to me.
What you got to do is get out. No, here's what we're going to do. We're going to make PonchStevenson2.com.
Ugh.
And it's going to be 300 episodes where we listen to each episode and do commentary. DVD commentary, special features.
How can you comment on audio?
Oh, my goodness.
That joke, what was going through my mind was
You should call it Ponch Stevenson Dimensional. We're going to another dimension.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sliders. Ponch
yeah. There you go.
My favorite ever show. Right. Sliders.
Yeah.
which I wish they would bring back. I hope that the 10 people that hear this, there's a petition somewhere for bring back Sliders. Go sign it, please.
There you
help
go.
Me out.
See, it went away and then it's gone forever.
I think Jerry O'Connell's up for it. I think he every time anybody.
Yeah, they are. They've actually the three of them have done some conventions lately where they've promoted the. It's not going to happen, but yeah, they promoted the fact
is
that
Kari
it
were a part of this still or no?
I hope not.
Why?
Well, she wasn't the. She wasn't an original. The,
no, she wasn't an original. Slut,
the original right. actress is in. Right now, she's in Italy. Her husband is in some. Is
Greg
in
has
UN.
Tracked her down and.
No. I mean, I
has
follow
a pin her. On her.
Follow. I follow her on Instagram. She's an artist now, Sabrina
okay.
Lloyd.
Well, good deal.
But yeah, no, it's like. No, I can't imagine. No, I mean, you know, I thought about doing like clip shows and stuff like that, but it's too much work. You know, I just feel
laziness
like
laziness gets to me every time.
Remember laziness. That time when we taught? It's like we're all sitting on the couch thinking back to the time when we made fun of Dr. Phil and.
Or, well, it used to
Bill
be
Cosby.
But it used to be easier to do. We did clip shows. A long time ago. It used to be easier to do that because, like I said, so much of what we were doing was like a phony variety act.
Yeah.
And so it was easier to like pull those out. Whereas the last, I don't know, 10 years or whatever or longer, it's basically us just talking.
Right.
You know, not as many. The bits just got ridiculous. They just, they're so stupid. So we just,
it's
it was
more
too much
flowing.
It's my business.
I mean, I love doing the Dr. Julius Sumner Miller bits, which again was something that is, even though that was a TV show or something, I guess.
It was a real thing.
It was a real show like in the 70s or the 60s. It was in black and white, but we somehow watched videotapes of it when we were in high school or junior high school. And of course, we had to make fun of it. We had to make fun of it.
Of course.
Because we made fun of it then. This was the thing, like this, the science teacher like thought he would show us this and it would, I don't know what it was supposed to do, like interest us in science. No, immediate from the within 5 seconds of seeing this guy on screen and his, you know, New England accent and the way he looked and and just the, like him doing these experiments
with
and
disheveled hair and the things and going like, wrong.
Yeah, like he's doing the experiments and like blowing things up inadvertently and all. We're just
we
could take that seriously, you know. But what did he used to say, Rob? Now I can't even remember it. I did the line.
Physics is my business.
Physics, yes, physics is my business. So yeah, just things like that. I think, you know, this is a good idea. I think maybe with this technology now, Rob, we could
AI.
Oh yeah. Boy, that's a good idea. I wonder, you know, if the AI got good enough.
It is good enough. I'll tell you about it afterwards.
Are we talking to AI right now?
I don't know. It's just a cartoon character. It could well be.
Good enough to make your clip show idea pretty easily, actually.
True, but like, you know, one of the things that Rob and I goof about, you know, ourselves is the AI music. Like the Beatles, the AI Beatles, and all that's terrible. But there are some, the AI music has gotten a little bit better. It's gotten more lifelike, if you will. Yeah. And so, sure, I'm sure that if we, you know, I mean, I can't imagine an AI service that's going to give us the resources to do this. But I'm sure
we'll talk more off the air on that. But the crazy thing is, and this is, I shouldn't even record this when I say
Uh-oh.
It, but
say it.
You guys and myself and Frank and some others, there's enough of us talking that anyone can make us talk.
Oh, I'm sure.
At this point.
Oh, yeah. Without
you remember
question.
Whenever Roger Ebert, you know, lost his jaw?
Yeah.
They basically made a new voice for him because he had made all those movies and sneak previews and everything. Yeah. Well, now, you know, you're a kid could do that.
Right.
If they've got enough of your audio. So.
But, and yet they've done this recently, like with Star Wars. They did it for Mark Hamill and it sounds terrible. So again, we don't understand. Yeah. How does Disney not able to do this? And I can go into my phone in 45 seconds and come up with it.
I mean, we talk about my memory for you guys meeting with Frank was 4 years ago or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
That was 5 years, 5-6 years ago. Already.
No.
Some of it was a while ago.
But that's a good idea. That is a good idea. We could. All I have to do is like when we used to do the show notes, and then I would put in like, you know, for the little, you know, for the little blurb, whoever needed to read that, like the bullet points. So what I could, the reverse, I take the bullet points and put it into AI.
Yeah.
This is like a get rich quick that won't make any money. Yeah. I put it into AI and then I tell it, create the Pawn Stevenson episode on these topics.
On these topics.
And let's see what it comes up with.
Oh, wow.
Well,
what a twisted world we live in.
Bob, to address your concern about there's so much audio of Greg and me out there that someone can make us say stupid things if they wanted to via AI.
Right.
I don't think they'd be able, like the way a normal person's brain works, I don't think they would come up with things as stupid as we have actually said on the air.
Definitely.
Yeah, but you know, I'm saying,
Your
Swiss bank accounts could be compromised with their voice.
No, but it, you know what it's like
identifying,
especially early on when we would be talking about, I would bring up the name of somebody and Rob would impersonate this person. And then I would like, I'd never heard this before from him. And of course, like I'm chuckling because it's so bad and it doesn't sound anything like the person. And then I'd be like, who are you? And then he would say it. No, not even close. Terrible.
Leo, stop. The Jell-O pudding pops.
Yeah. And it was like there was an outtake that I was listening to, Rob, when we did the I think for our like 100th episode, we did, it was almost entirely bits and stupid songs.
Yeah.
And we did a full like album of the dueling Dr. Phils. So yes, both of us impersonating Dr. Phil, and it's
on the river.
It's awful because the music, you know, the music is all MIDI. It's not like real music. And the outtake is the fact that we did Deo, right? The
that's on the episode. Song.
Yes, I know. Yeah, it's at the end, and it's Rob being unable to say Deo as Dr. Phil without laughing, and this. The outtake is only like 2 minutes, but we were there for like 25 minutes because he wouldn't stop laughing and ruined like 500 takes.
Oh, my God.
But so you can't. I don't think AI can do that. They're too efficient.
Well, that could be. Although you never know. They did all the outtakes for Toy Story, you know, over for all the movies and so forth.
But really?
You didn't see the outtakes from Toy Story?
Well, I haven't.
They're all fake because like they made them. They made the outtakes.
Yeah.
Because there's no outtakes in Toy Story. It's a computer-generated movie.
It's an intentional outtake.
It's intentional outtakes.
Yeah, but it's,
you
I'm
just
saying
tell
it's
the AI to do intentional outtakes, and it'll do it.
True.
This now this is something you know. This is a project now. I just find out how to do this just to see what it comes up with.
Well, and we could have
I'm curious now.
We can have any guest on the show. Ever. We could have we could have Eliza Dushku, Frank.
We've had these people.
I'm just saying we could
have AI,
we want.
Edgar Rice Burroughs, who's been dead and never recorded, I think. So
anyone
what's with the Tarzan? Was this some kind of fantasy of yours?
Well, we used to do Paunch in Time, and then we would like interrupt historical people. That were terrible impersonations.
That's,
so I guess
that's
we could
very
do that.
Python-esque, you know.
Realism. Break whatever the breakthrough they were working on.
Exactly.
Alexander
yes,
Graham Bell. Excuse me.
Yes. we did
Ooh,
do one of those.
What is this glass figure here that it slips out of my? You idiot! You destroyed the first light bulb ever invented. I'm out of here.
But actually, it wasn't. Alexander Graham Bell, in our case, it was Antonio Meucci, who a lot of people argued, including this Italian language teacher that we had, that it was actually Antonio Meucci who invented the telephone Alexander Graham Bell stole it.
That,
of course, was
that
our
is a show. That,
well, that's what we
you
did.
Just described a show.
That's
Bill
what we
Gates
did.
Bill stole DOS. Steve Jobs stole. Yeah. I mean,
right.
All these people that are famous. Elon Musk stole Tesla.
Elvis stole all his music.
Everybody who's famous stole it from somebody else.
That's true. I mean, that's a History Channel
show in the making, right?
I mean, isn't that like, you know, human civilization? It's you're just stealing somebody's land. You're stealing somebody's woman. I mean, it's
exactly.
That's it.
The Salem witch trials was about stealing land.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
If you look into it.
I did not know that yet. Did you know that?
Right, exactly.
Oh,
that's right.
No, but that's interesting now that we could do an AI episode. Of course, we would be too lazy to do that. And
right,
so in reality, it would be us pretending to be AI.
This is
would have to tell the
gets.
AI to make an AI show of us because we're too lazy to tell the AI.
What do you mean? That's how you work. Have you ever used AI, Rob? That's what you do. You tell it to do things.
No, I'm saying
he's not
AI,
even going to type it. He's going to just.
Dear AI, you make pick whatever topics you want. I can't even give you topics. You pick the topics.
Listen to this. Listen to 20 years of this crap and come up with something new.
Right. Exactly.
Well, you know, the funny part is you don't need 20 years. You need like 5 minutes of us.
Yeah.
And that's it. I mean, if you want some of our stupid impersonations, you know, maybe a little bit more.
I love your impersonation.
I have to be honest with you. I am now very, very intrigued by the possibility of who should we have on the show that we would never get?
Eliza Dushku.
We had her on the show.
Gary Busey.
Gary
Bill Cosby.
Gary Busey would be a good get.
Well, the real Bill Maher wouldn't be funny with
Pat
us.
Pat Paulson. I think you should have Pat Paulson.
Who?
Yeah.
Oh, he's
that's
dead.
All right.
I know who. The Smothers Brothers. But
that is.
We can have anybody. Mo Howard.
Hey.
Huh? Yeah, Shemp. You can have Shemp on. Why does everybody make fun of you, Shemp? They do?
Leonardo da Vinci.
That's not, what would we say to him?
Is it really a parachute?
The AI is going to come up with stuff. I don't have to come up with it.
No, I'm seriously intrigued by this possibility now that I could devise a show and have us talk to a celebrity like Michael Jackson. And not even have to do anything and see what comes out of it.
That may be the next wave because it's going to happen.
Right.
But if it hasn't already happened yet, it's going to happen.
I feel like if we leave our website up long enough with our recordings on there, that eventually it'll be like a Bill and Ted thing, right? Where like 1,000 years in the future or something, because I don't believe in aliens, but I do believe it's possible that maybe they can time travel, and it's like a millennia ahead, they kind of time travel back, sort of like in what was the Christopher Nolan movie?
Interstellar?
Yes, Interstellar.
Interstellar, yeah.
I can't believe Rob remembered a movie name.
Inner Space.
No, it wasn't but
Interstellar, yeah.
They would come back, and then they could, you know, they could learn about human, you know, human. I mean, and that happened in the Kubrick movie that Spielberg did?
AI.
Yes, AI. We're talking about it. AI.
Literally called AI.
That was literally the plot.
That can't be the name. That's what we're talking about.
That's the plot of AI. Spoiler, by the way, but that is the plot of AI.
You're going to tell me the little boy was a robot.
Yeah, well, this future, you know, whatever the humans evolved into, came to see, like, see old history.
they evolved into stick figures.
You could interview the cast of Gilligan's Island after the first episode.
We could. Anyone we want.
Now I'm really thinking. We could have almost anybody at that point. That would be interesting.
Anybody in the past, and then oddly enough,
right.
I think if you leave the website up long enough, someone in the future will say they are the progeny of Paunch Stevenson.
Mm. Yes.
They'll be like, oh, yeah, that's like my dad's great uncle, Paunch Stevenson.
Well, that's what I mean. It would be like a Bill and Ted thing where we would become like nothing else would survive from human history except us.
He was a car salesman,
right?
And he did the show.
We are the Paunch Stevenson show is the record of human history.
Yes, yes. Like the only surviving record. The only surviving record.
There was this guy named Sean Connery, and he always wanted $1 million for everything. And then there was this other guy, Billy Connolly.
Billy.
That'll be, you guys will etch it into quartz, and it'll be the only thing that survives the nuclear fallout. And then the people in the future will be like, everything is based on Paunch Stevenson.
Yeah. I mean, if they send it out into space, right?
Rob always saw them every day. They came by his house.
Autobots. Well, guys,
Let's close it down for today.
Yeah,
maybe we'll revisit in the next 20 years if we're alive.
But Bob, can I just say one last thing, and then we'll shut up.
No, you're
what
fine.
What I said in the most recent episode of the Paunch Stevenson show, Greg, we were in Greg's car. Uh-huh. What I said toward the end, I did my rant. I did my AI rant, my rant of the episode, which was AI. Mm-hmm. And in my industry, I grew up to be behind the scenes stuff, like production and operations and stuff, like creative operations, visual arts. And what I said, my rant was, in all of these companies, the executives, like from above, our mandate, like every single one of you employees must use AI and everything. This is the future. We can't be left behind. This is taking over jobs. This is taking over entire people's jobs. Mm-hmm. We put AI at the desk and we say, hey, do Mary's job now. And it does it. And it doesn't even have to know what she did. It just does it. And it's like everybody is hyping up and overblowing what all this LLM AI stuff can do. Mm-hmm. And what we, the three of us just now have been talking about, like, oh, we can do silly podcasts and impersonate dead celebrity, like the AI can do it and stuff.
Right.
And it's like, where is the disconnect? There's some disconnect between companies saying use AI for everything. It's taking over jobs. It can do anything. It can take over the entire universe. That's how amazing AI is over here versus over here. Hey, AI is a fun, silly toy that can come up with novelty podcasts. It's like, mm-hmm. it's a toy, right? I mean, am I a crazy person? Like, it is now. We're talking about fun, silly, novelty things that it can do. It's not taking over it's not taking over my job, but everyone keeps saying that it's taking
over. Oh, yeah. Well, this is AI hard sell right now. So,
right. Yeah. Anyway, that was my rant.
Well, guys, thank you very much for spending some time with me and talking about the olden days.
Yes.
And how things got started. And everybody check out the Ponch Stevenson Show. You can listen to the really old ones.
I would suggest
they're real bad audio. Or you can listen to the new ones and see what's going on. The 20-year celebration, as it was. So thanks, everybody, for listening. Thank you guys for being here. Hang on for just a second. Don't go away because of I got to click a button and then everything's got to upload and whatnot. So hold on.
Uh-oh.
Thank you, Bob.
Thanks.